This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The plan to establish a Durham Orange light rail line is over. On Wednesday, the GO Triangle Board of Trustees voted to discontinue planning the 18-mile line. Would have connected UNC Chapel Hill with Duke University, Duke Hospitals, North Carolina Central University, and more. The project was slated to be an economic boon for the Triangle, but significant obstacles emerged during the planning process, including Duke University's refusal to sign cooperative agreements needed to secure federal funding. Today we debrief on what went wrong and what the future holds for Triangle Transit. We did talk with Duke University and invited them to be on this program, and they declined our request. Joining us now is Tammy Grubb. She's a reporter with the Herald Sun. She's been following the light rail project since 2012. Tammy, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. Let's talk about the big news this week. GO Triangle Board of Trustees voted to end light rail. Tell us more about the decision itself.
Yeah, the decision, I don't know that it was terribly surprising. It was obviously disappointing for a lot of people and still is. I think we're all in a state of mourning, most of the community anyway. But it's... You know, it's been a hard road for light rail since the incarnation more than 30 years ago. The previous plan was defeated, and then this plan was put on hold until there was funding available. So,
but talk about it. I mean, it's been a hard road, but some of the what you would think would be the bigger obstacles were overcome. Taxpayers in both Orange and Durham County agreed to tax themselves, increase their taxes right, to get this thing going. I mean, I want to talk about some of the obstacles, because it wasn't just Duke. There were many obstacles along the way. But talk about the growing support and how did it get this far?
Sure. Well, it got this far because it did have support. And the region really needs a network of transit opportunities for people to get around. You have so many people coming in from other surrounding counties to work here now because housing is unaffordable for a lot of people. So that will clog up your highways. You know, people want to be here because you can make a living in the Triangle. You can get a good job. You can have a good life. So we need to prepare for that. And that's what this plan was supposed to do. The obstacles that you mentioned, Duke is obviously one of the big ones. But the state and the state legislature were also a huge obstacle. In 2010, the state legislature allowed the counties to pass that sales tax with a voter referendum. But then they came back in the mid 2015, 2016, that era, and they cut the funding. They cut it substantially, at one point down to $500,000 total from the state, which is
down to $500,000 from
nothing.
What? From what?
From a 25% share to 10%, and mm-hmm. or from 25% down to $500,000, and it's 10% is wow. was one of the options, and now it's 7.7%. So it went from basically $247 million to roughly $190 million.
Not to throw around too many numbers, but the last time we checked in, this would have been a $2.5 billion project overall, right? Am I?
Yeah, right close. There? Plus the additional money for the downtown changes that were recently made.
And about half of that was coming from the federal government if you could get all the ducks in a row. Is that right?
It was $1.25 billion.
Okay. So that would have been money spent into the economy. That is now not going to happen, at least not through this project.
Right.
Give us the plan now. I mean, where would the light rail have gone? Who would it have connected?
Well, it would have connected primarily the three universities and the hospitals in this area, which are major economic drivers, and also a large portion of the people who transfer into this area, work at those places, UNC, Duke, NC Central, Durham Regional, the Durham VA Medical Center also would have benefited greatly from this. And the many number of smaller companies and residential areas around. And also the connector, you might want to mention that this was part of a regional transit plan, and there was a commuter rail line to connect Durham to Raleigh at some point in the future. And that would have connected to the light rail line to create that spine of a regional system.
All right, let's talk about Duke's role in this. What was it that Duke refused to do, and why did Duke make the decision it did?
Well, Duke had some valid reasons. Early on, the reasons were easily solved. You know, the tree buffer along Irwin Road and near the golf course could have been worked out.
We talk about that. What does that mean, the tree buffer?
Well, there's a strand of trees along Irwin Road where the light rail line would have been, and that would have been taken down in order to build it.
Mm.
So, it sort of changes the view, if mm-hmm. you will, of Irwin Road, and you can see the buildings behind the apartment complexes, utility ponds, things right. like that. So that visual aspect and the visual quality of the medical center would have been affected, obviously, mm-hmm. by a train running through. Even if it was on an elevated track, you know, it would have been at your visual eye level. So that was an obvious concern for them. But, you know, that's one thing you can solve with buffers and careful planning and things like that. It happens all the time. Other issue, vibrations of the trains were problems that are easily solved across the country.
I mean, there are light rail lines and heavy rail lines trains and that pass hospitals all over the country.
Sure. Houston runs right through the Texas Medical Center campus and passes within 50 feet of at least four or five buildings. So the issues of EMI were huge and were brought up not at the last minute, but very late in the process.
This is electromagnetic
electromagnetic interference. Yeah. Brought up very late in the process and could have been worked out, but the timing was such with the state deadlines that there really wasn't a lot of time to work that out. And it would have pushed the federal decision back to almost the last minute.
I want to talk to the mayor of Durham right now as well. Steve Shule is the mayor of Durham, sits on the board of trustees for Go Triangle, and one of the elected officials who is working on the Durham Orange Light Rail project. Mayor Shule, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Frank. Good to see you, and good to see you, Tammy.
It's good to see you. Talk about this decision, what effect it has, and sort of your reaction to what you had to do on Wednesday.
Well, first of all, I thought Tammy gave a great description of the situation. I think she captured it very well. You know, I have a couple of different thoughts. One is, no question, this is a huge hit. To be first in line for $1.25 billion in federal funding to create the backbone of a regional transit system that's absolutely critical if we're serious about climate change, if we're serious about affordable transportation to good jobs in this region for people that don't have cars and for people that do, if we want to try to get people unclogged on our highways, we've got to have that kind of transit system. And to be so close to it with the federal funding sitting there waiting for us first in line, it's just, I think the first thing you have to say is it's a big hit, no question. I also think that we have to acknowledge where we are now. That line's not going to be built. And so we have to step back from that and we have to, you know, get going on thinking about what's next. And we can't just accept a future without transit. And so we have to be thinking about how are we going to build a beautiful phoenix to rise out of the ashes of this light rail line, and that's going to be a big community conversation.
Well, we'll talk about that conversation, but let's talk about Duke's role in this, because the conversation has been going on for a long time. You're the mayor. You've been talking with them. Tammy suggests that some of these objections came up very recently. Was Duke on board with this from the beginning? Have things changed? What's behind this decision?
Yeah. Well, so I've been mayor, I guess, a little more than a year. When I was first elected, I was invited by President Price, also new at Duke, to address the trustees. I talked to them a year ago about light rail, its importance, and what the potential problems were that they had raised at the time. Tammy outlined some of those. They were an electrical line under Irwin Road. They were the ability of their ambulances to turn into their emergency entrance. There were the trees that Tammy discussed. These were the objections that were foremost at the time. At the expense of about $90 million, Go Triangle decided to elevate the line for about 1.1 miles over Irwin Road to solve those problems. And then subsequent to that, other problems emerged from Duke, the electromagnetic interference and the vibrations primarily that Tammy, I thought, did a great job of talking about. All these concerns, let me just say, I really feel very strongly, are legitimate concerns. There's not a one of them I think that they don't matter or they shouldn't be taken into consideration. But all over the country, all over the world, light rail lines and hospitals coexist in very close proximity. Good partners work these things out. And I think that's the big, big disappointment, that Duke wasn't willing to be that kind of partner. They weren't the only obstacle, for sure, but they were very. I was really disappointed and really surprised in the end that they didn't agree to come on board. It was a real tremendous disappointment for our community, and it's a big hit.
Tammy, talk about what the big surprise, because again, all these things can be worked out. They are worked out in other cities. Same objections, other places, they have light rail, the hospitals go on. So they can all be worked out. It came up quickly. What kind of signals had Duke been giving all along, and how abrupt was this about turn?
Well, most of the documentation that I've uncovered over the last 10 years, Duke expressed concern with the proposal. They didn't say, we don't want this on Irwin Road. They would say, we don't want this on Irwin Road, so we elevate the track. And we don't want the elevated track, so we put it on Irwin Road. Or they would just say, well, this proposal just doesn't work for us. It was never a very, very clear statement that we don't want this. And then in 2017, November of 2017, we first heard about the EMI issues, not publicly, but in documents that Go Triangle has released from meetings with Duke. And that was not even publicly discussed until November of last year, when President Price issued his letter with their concerns.
I wonder if there's any sense that this, because, you know, these are very complicated projects. They fail in a lot of cities, and I wonder to what extent everyone on board and all the partners were optimistic, Steve Shule, that this would even go through. Was everybody pretty optimistic about this?
What you said is right, which is they're hard to do. When you have a $2.5 billion project and 18 miles, 19 stations through an existing urban area, no question they're hard. And you're right that these things go down.
Yeah.
They're hard to do. But I think we've all been working. It's the kind of thing where we spent $140 million in tax money to get this done for design and engineering. And so you really have to, you can't, you've got to buy into the idea that you can get it done, even though it's super hard and complex. And I think that we could have gotten it done had Duke and the railroad decided not to cooperate with us.
We asked Duke to be on the program. They declined our offer. Steve Shule's the mayor of Durham. Tammy Grubbs, a reporter with the Herald Sun, and our conversation on light rail in Durham continues in a moment. Please stay tuned. This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The light rail plan that would have been an economic boon for North Carolina's Triangle region has failed. The Go Triangle Board of Trustees voted this week to end the $2.5 billion project. Partnership for Healthy Durham is just one of many community organizations that have been advocating for the mass transit plan. Kevin Primus is co-chair of communications with Partnership for a Healthy Durham, also a member of the Coalition for Affordable Housing and Transit, and a former manager at Duke's men's basketball team. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Frank. I really appreciate you inviting me on today.
Still with us is Steve Shule, who is the mayor of Durham and a member of the Go Triangle Board of Trustees. We did ask Duke to participate in this conversation. They declined our invitation. Kevin, what's your reaction to the news this week?
So I think, first of all, it's really important that I, you know, express that although I'm a member of all of those organizations, today I'm speaking here not as an organizer, not as a member or a co-chair of anything with Partnership for Healthy Durham or Coalition for Affordable Housing and Transit, or Duke men's basketball for that matter, but really just as a fairly active citizen and a graduate of Duke University. So my reaction, and probably if I could speak from any voice, it would be as a graduate of Duke University and an African-American one, is, you know, really a lot of disappointment, but specific disappointment in that my alma mater would like to they would like to be an active member. I think they would like to be a very active member of the community, but unable to foresee or to hear the damage that's done to the poorest in Durham, the most vulnerable in Durham. It was a highlight of Mayor Shule's address that here in Durham, we really want to make sure that the most vulnerable among us are part of the prosperity, the shared prosperity. And by not being a part of light rail, Duke undermines so many of our plans, and it's utter disappointment.
Does Duke have a responsibility to do that? I mean, they outlined a number of reasons. As we said, all of them were negotiable, but they did outline reasons that they felt they couldn't go forward with their part in this. Isn't that their purview? And it will have an impact on other communities, but is that their responsibility?
So I had a great conversation with a faculty member at Duke who said it's very much for light rail, but all universities do this. They all act in their own best interest. And I think that given our racial history in Durham and given the concentration of poverty and the stated goal of Duke, that they would be active community members and supportive of this Durham community, that it's really hard to have a city and a community that's focused on racial equity. It's been a theme throughout Durham, and Durham County government has done workshops on racial equity. And for the Duke, when I say Duke, I don't even mean Duke as a whole. I mean the administration, you know, the Allen Building. For Duke to make decisions in Duke's own best interest versus the interest of the community, it's well understood that you can't optimize one part of the community and optimize the whole. You have to focus on the whole. So is it Duke's purview to do what's in Duke's best interest? Yes, and unfortunately, that's what all the African Americans are expecting Duke to do.
What would light rail have done for the communities that you're talking about?
Yeah, so there's some very specific plans that were at work. Our Durham Housing Authority director had put together a really important $556 million project that was really centered around light rail. The project will still go forward, but for our number one health priority in Durham is affordable housing. That's what came out of our community health assessment. Affordable housing is number one and access to care is number two. And so the affordable housing plan, and we, again, well, as Mayor Shull said, we will continue to move forward. But with light rail, we could have gotten $130 per unit per month reduced in that the cost of living in those mixed use and mixed income communities. That's a tragic number to be missing from your monthly budget because we don't have light rail. The chances of getting every one of those stages completed is somewhat lessened. It's a very competitive grant. So, you know, our jobs program was built around this. We've worked in the Durham Public Schools to retool. We've lost trades. You know, they've been working diligently. So many things were tied to this light rail transit project. Again, I studied urban sociology at Duke University, and it's really, you know, two things we study there is, you know, how are decisions made, you know, by elites, and how do they affect the rest of the community? And then what are the daily lives of individuals in an urban community? And so this light rail project was so much a reflection of that. And it's, again, we can have housing, but are people going to be able to get the jobs?
Well, Steve Shull, tell us other ways in which light rail may have helped these communities that we're talking about. It's always the challenge in any city, particularly one like Durham, which is growing so quickly. Problems of gentrification are, you know, sort of a headache in your office and the entire city council trying to figure out how to work through those things. Kevin talked about affordable housing. Seems to me, in some ways, light rail is a double-edged sword. Makes your city more attractive. That makes things more expensive. Does it help? Does it hinder the process of uplifting those communities?
Well, first of all, I thought Kevin did a fantastic job of describing the ways in which light rail, this light rail line in particular, would have been incredibly beneficial, and I really appreciate that description. Anytime that you introduce an asset to a community, it is attractive. But the thing about light rail in particular is it helps you to guide growth. It reduces sprawl, and so it's a tremendous benefit in terms of climate change. Nothing we can do in this community is as important as having public transit if you're talking about climate change and our local contribution to fighting it. But there's a nexus in terms of people's ability to live affordably, and that nexus is good jobs and good wages, affordable housing, and affordable transportation. And the light rail is the key to affordable transportation. The light rail, the plan for the light rail was that the fare would be the same fare as our bus fare. This would have been very, very affordable transportation. We've still got to do this, but we've lost here a huge opportunity, and now we got to figure out what the next one is.
Kevin, also this rail system would have connected North Carolina Central as well, and I wonder what the reaction there and the impact on Central is to losing this project.
So again, I have friends at Central, friends in who are professors, and I know students there through different organizations. But one of the things that it would have done for Central is to allow students at North Carolina Central to take courses at Duke or at UNC Chapel Hill. Those students are able to take up to 25% of their courses outside of NCCU. And it's been a conversation that's almost impossible for them to get in a car, drive to UNC, park, you know, pay for parking, pay for a car, and go to class, get back for other classes. Light rail, they could jump on right there on Alston Avenue, get off and take courses at UNC or at Duke. And so that's tragic, but also the housing. I mean, there are housing challenges at North Carolina Central. for even their own students. And to be able to build up around transit stops and to be able to jump on and be on time 97% of the time is a lot different than riding even our much improved bus system, where a lot of times you have to go through downtown. If someone happens to make traffic a little slower, you may be an hour late because you missed that bus.
Steve Shule, as I said, we invited Duke to be on this program. They declined our invitation. You've been involved in this project for a long time as mayor and also a member of the city council before that. All of the problems, as we say, that have come up had been negotiable in some ways. I mean, that is indisputable. And there's so much speculation about some of the other rationales that may be behind this. If it wasn't precisely for the reasons that Duke outlined, and those reasons, as you say, were legitimate but could have been worked out, what else is behind this? What are you hearing that may also account for this decision that has essentially terminated the project?
Yeah. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I take Duke at and there are reasons at face value. We've all heard, reporting about the Koch brothers donation to Duke, that sort of thing. I honestly don't think that had anything to do with it, Frank. I really don't. I think that Duke was, I don't think that their motivation, I don't think they were ill-motivated. I think that they had problems that were legitimate and that they were just simply not willing to work them out. And I think that is what is the huge disappointment here. Yeah, we had a terrible, there is, and Tammy mentioned this, there is an underlying problem, which is the hostility of our state legislature towards transit. 96% of our state transportation money is for highways. 4% is for transit. And they created these draconian deadlines for us. But still, we could have gotten there if we could have had the cooperation of Duke and of the North Carolina Railroad. In the end, we had neither, and we are where we are.
I'm talking to the mayor of Durham, Steve Shule, and Kevin Primus, communications co-chair with Partnership for Healthy Durham and a member of the Coalition for Affordable Housing and Transit. Today, we're looking at the future of light rail to connect Orange and Durham counties and maybe a regional transit system. Adi Tomer is a fellow at the Brookings Institution Metropolitan Policy Program. He leads Metropolitan Infrastructure Initiative. Adi Tomer, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Let's talk about this light rail project. You heard about what happened here in the Triangle of North Carolina. Talk about the landscape nationally. How often do these programs go through? How difficult is it for these programs, projects like this, to be approved?
The landscape overall for transit is really positive across the country. There is a growing interest in metropolitan areas the size of Raleigh and also the size of Durham, right, which is technically a different metro area, but of course exchanges a ton of people every day. To invest more in transit. And they tend to go to voters, similar to what the two counties did. Now, what's a little bit unique about this situation is to be so far along on such an expensive, important capital project, to be in line with the Federal Transit Administration in Washington, which is a big deal, as you heard earlier from the mayor, which is exactly right. You're getting $1.25 billion from effectively the rest of America to invest in the Triangle region. And to see that stop is a little bit unique. Now, the positive here, and the glass half full you'll probably hear from me for the rest of the time I'm able to speak with you all, is that when projects or even direct votes fail, they're often an important market signal about how to pivot. And so looking forward, there's a ton of different opportunities here that the Triangle region can take on to invest wisely with what the regional voters have already provided, to make sure that they continue to provide some of the alternatives and address some of the challenges both Kevin and the mayor have talked about.
So what are some of those the alternatives that you've seen perhaps initiated around the country?
So one of the most popular is to install what's known as bus rapid transit, or BRT. Now, buses, from a sociological perspective, have a different vantage point than rail. Real estate developers much prefer rail because of its permanence, right? When you know it's in the road there or in whatever its right-of-way is, you feel really good about making those sometimes multi-hundreds of million dollars real estate investments. But when designed effectively, buses, of course, are cheaper, right? They run on more typical asphalt. They can go in the same right-of-way. But what's going to be important, whether it's bus rapid transit, different kinds of rail projects moving forward as the regional actors go back to the drawing board, is making sure that there's a recognition, as the mayor really thoughtfully put out there, is that the region's going to very soon have more intensive geometry problems. And what I mean by that is people and jobs continue to locate in the area. By our most recent Metro Monitor, which judges economic health across the country, Raleigh and Durham are some of the top performers in the country. They're attracting people from all over the country, if not world, to come move there, but density is going down. So as more people and jobs move outward, as key destinations and where houses are get further apart, that gets more and more challenging on the same roads to handle a growing volume of cars. So transit is a really important part of the solution, but what the region decides on needs to give transit the priority it needs to work effectively.
Well, how much of that resides? I mean, obviously, this is a local issue. Steve Shule talked about taking control of this and bringing together the parties who are affected by this and having this conversation at the local level. But the state is a player. The state has been hostile to rapid transit. It's a very pro-fossil fuel legislature. You can see from their record of legislation. To what extent does the state play a role, and can they stop initiatives going through, even though local communities have voiced their preference for this kind of thing? Adi Tomer? Well, we've lost that connection, but we will continue our conversation. Mayor Steve Shule is here. Talk about going forward. You heard Adi Tomer from the Brookings Institution talk about having these conversations and what to do going forward.
Yeah.
What's your sense of how to reconstruct the conversation? Who are the stakeholders? What do you do next?
Yeah, I really liked what Adi said, and I appreciated it a lot. So I'll just say that for Durham, we're pretty good at this. We know how to get together and solve problems, and that's what we need to do now. We need to get everybody at the table. We need to figure out. We need to take a step back. And somebody asked me the other day, what's your plan B? What's your strategy? We shouldn't have a plan B and a strategy yet. We had a fabulous plan A. The stakes were really high for it. What we need to do is get our plan B and to make it a great one. And that means a good conversation with all our partners. And we need to step back and take some time and really figure out what's next, not to hurry into anything. I think that we know some of the things that it can include. It could include rail, and we need to figure out how. Certainly the commuter rail to Raleigh is still a high priority, and we really need to do that. And Raleigh now has finally become a willing partner, so we can go in that direction, which is very important. But one of the things about the commuter rail and the light rail, one of the differences is that commuter rail serves a much higher income group of people. We need it, but we also need the light rail because it was really serving people, as Kevin pointed out, who really are in the most need of affordable transportation. So that corridor and moving through Durham is really important. So some of the things on my mind are, and Kevin mentioned, we really need to, there are 20,000 bus boardings in Durham every day. Our bus system's critically important. We need to make sure that we have a fabulous bus system, and we need to, one of the options for spending some of our money is to continue to enhance that. The second is thinking about bus rapid transit, as Adi mentioned. To make bus rapid transit truly rapid, though, you have to have a dedicated corridor, and that means some of the exact same problems and partnerships would be needed that the light rail wasn't able to achieve, so that's important. And then we need to think about where is rail useful. Some people have talked about trolleys. I mean, and then there are new technologies, and we need to think about what they are. But automated vehicles, which a lot of people talk about, still run in the road. You've got to have a technology that gets you outside of traffic if you're going to have rapid transit. And so we need to get everybody together. A lot of people in the Triangle are so thoughtful about this. And then come up with both a good regional plan, but also a really good plan for Durham, and I think we can do both.
Does that mean Duke has to remain in the conversation then, right?
Of course. I mean, it's just Duke has said and that they want to be a good partner going forward. I'm anxious to hear from Duke what that means. What does that mean to them? And I think that we're going to have to really ask them to step up in a very big way, and I'm anticipating that. And And we can't do it unless everybody's here contributing.
Kevin Primus, how do you see this for this process going forward from here?
I'm still trying to figure out how can you tell when Duke is going to be actually on board of anything. I was a Duke basketball manager, again, not speaking for Duke basketball, but when Coach K says that we're going to do something, everyone believes him and they trust him and they execute. And I just see such a vast difference between the Allen Building and Schwartz Butters Building, where Coach K is, where Cameron Indoor Stadium is. My brother went to Georgia Tech. He's an engineer from Georgia Tech, and they have a saying where they, you know, it's a guy named Nick Selby did a famous speech, and, you know, they have it on their T-shirts. We can do that. We actually have a dean of engineering from Georgia Tech. He's never been asked, but I imagine I would love to hear him in the next phase to say we can do that, because it still seems ludicrous to me that we can get from the Earth to the Moon in 1969 technology, and we can't get from Durham to Chapel Hill in 2019, 50 years later.
Adit Umair back on the line from Brookings. Very briefly, what role? How much can they do locally, and what's the role of the state in all this?
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that call dropping. There's a huge role for the state. We're seeing this in other places across the country, urban states like Ohio. There's a real need out of the state capitol to recognize the importance of urban and metropolitan economies to the future of North Carolina. Solving that geometry problem, rail, bus rapid transit, other solutions is really important, and I hope they start to contribute a little bit more.
Adit Umair, fellow at the Brookings Institution, Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program, leads the Metropolitan Infrastructure Initiative. Kevin Primus, communications co-chair with the Partnership for a Healthy Durham, also a member of the Coalition for Affordable Housing and Transit. Steve Shule, the mayor of Durham and a member of the Go Triangle Board of Trustees. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Coming up. Thank you. You can find out, by the way, more information and some of the reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Live music ahead from the Triangle Youth Jazz Ensemble. Stay tuned.